Hello, welcome. It's Stephen Carr, and welcome to the Your Full Stack podcast. Today is January 19th, 2026. Today in our episode, I basically was going to talk about the inception and basically the ideas of how I came up with all of the apps that I created. I currently have 25 in the Apple iTunes store, and one of the main ones that I created that really took off some good traction was it's called Name Wizard. And with most of my ideas, typically I have a problem or something that I need solved myself. And so I basically just build a tool for myself. And then after I use it for a while, I then just scale it and turn it into an enterprise level application so that other people can benefit. So let me go back in some history as to why I created Name Wizard, and then I'll explain what the app does and why I needed it. So it's an application that just sits on your phone and you launch it and basically gives you two fields. You can type in someone's name that you just met and then a description. And in that description field, you can put in, you know, what they look like, their interests, maybe what you talked about, and you can continually update that if you want in the future. The handy thing about this is that I also save a latitude and longitude point for wherever you enter that person. Now, you can enter one later and then go update the actual location to be where you met them. Now, the reason I did this was because I originally read a book by Dale Carnegie called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And there's a really simple chapter in that book, and it's basically how the most beautiful sound to anyone is their own name. And then it goes on to iterate over how billionaires would do all sorts of tricks over the years, you know, carry a notepad in their pocket and jot people's names down so that they could get to know everyone in their company. And the interesting thing is that whenever you remember someone's name, they always flip it and they think that there's something special about them, which then in turn makes them think more highly of you. They're like, wow, I must have really made an impression. Or just the fact that that person remembers your name puts you in their mind as well. So I started to do the same habit, but I did it everywhere I went. You know, if I went out to a bar and met someone, write their name down, put the bartender's name down, what we talked about. Because if I only went to that place once every other month, I wouldn't even remember their name. And it got old after a while to kind of reintroduce yourselves. So I had an iPhone note, and I started writing down all this information. I would meet different guys at Starbucks. If I see same people there, whenever I'm there, after four or five times, I just walk over and say, hey, introduce myself. Hey, I'm Steven. Small talk. And actually, that's one of the ways I actually got to know the CEO of a national company who has headquarters out of Dallas and also New York City. So after a while, my note just became too huge. It was an iPhone note. I'd write down their name, where I met them, a few details. And as I'd be walking up to Starbucks, I'd be like, well, where's this person's name? And I'd scroll and scroll. And when I finally found it, I was like, well, that took me, you know, way longer than it should have to be able to get that person's info. So I thought, wouldn't it be easier if I could just quickly sort? So then the first iteration I made was just a quick search feature where I'd type in Starbucks, and everyone I met at Starbucks would be in the list. But then I was like, this can get a lot faster. So when I started coming up with the idea of dropping a latitude and longitude pin, now when I open the app, it automatically sorts in order of distance. So as I'm walking up to Starbucks, even though there's 900 people in my iPhone app stored locally on my device, it brings up whoever's the closest and then sorts it from there. So I literally only have to scroll through the top first 5 or 10 names anywhere I'm going, and that's if it's a busy place. I then created a map where you can also view all of these pins in your own environment there on your phone. And you can then, you know, remember, hey, who did I meet at that location? So it's a really handy tool. So I started using that for several years. And then I basically just built it out and released it for, it's out on iPhone. So it's called Name Wizard, and it's been super helpful. And one of the things that I realized too is this. A lot of people are out there genuinely kind. They're polite. You know, you might tell someone about an idea you have, a business you have. You tell them about hobbies you do, about your life, and a lot of us are really polite. We act interested or whatever, but right when people would immediately whip out their phones when I tell them about this app, and then they would immediately download it. And then when I changed it to paid, and people didn't even bat an eye, they went there, got it, downloaded it, bought the app. I knew that I was onto something interesting. So that's basically how almost every one of my apps has come out. I either have an idea, a challenge, a problem, something I'm trying to solve, right? And I just solve it for myself. And then I just put it out there so other people can use it. So other things are also just personal challenges, like, can I do this? You know, can I accomplish, you know, this task or this goal? And so that's always been kind of a fun thing to do. I think what's interesting is that I always describe myself, on my resume, I literally put, I love people and technology, and in that order. And that's pretty much how I've always been, because technology is interesting. I love solving problems, but I feel like people, even though there's a lot of things that are similar about us, we all fall into different schemas, you know. So everyone has trauma in their life, everyone has drama, everyone responds differently, but at the same time, there's all these idiosyncrasies and there's a lot of minutia that actually make up what individual people are, how we operate. So I always thought that that was pretty interesting. You know, another app that I wanted to talk about too is, you know, AI has, the advent of AI has just been amazing. And then there's some pretty good concerns because it's like, it's almost like, you know, how they, the catchphrase that used to be out there, question everything or question authority and all that stuff. The whole purpose of that is always to get people to think, right? To have free ideas, to be free thinkers, to not just be robots or drones that just take anything spoon-fed to them. I think that completely applies, and even more so nowadays, with AI. It's, yes, it can spoon-feed you all sorts of stuff. It can be a sycophant that literally just makes you feel good about everything. And that's not healthy. And as long as people realize that basically it's just trying to agree with you, then you can actually tell it the reverse. You know, you tell it, hey, don't call on my feelings. And you actually tell them the situation reverse. Act like your problem is someone else's and see how it analyzes it from that end. That's like always a safe way to do it. So I have kids and I want them to use AI because it's just like an encyclopedia. You can't stop them. They're going to want to learn. They're going to want to ask it questions. It's the same as Google, except for now they added an interpersonal touch to it, right? So kids, when they're younger, don't have the ability to really decipher, is this information good or not? So I created something called Parent View AI. And what it does is it still basically goes through the OpenAI API. But basically in the interface in the app, it's immutable, which means your child cannot erase whatever they asked it, nor can they erase AI's responses. And all of that information is then saved to a database, and you are given a hashed unique URL so the parent can view at any time what your child has been basically asking AI and what AI has been telling it. There's still some safety bounds and parameters on the whole thing, but it allows you to have an insight into various things. So it's a great way to give your kid the tool, but also with the safety and the oversight that a parent may or may not want to have. So that was another app that I had created. So, you know, and when it comes to AI integration into my apps, I have to say that I almost leverage it now for every single new release. And there are a lot of helpful things that people don't realize that AI can actually do. One of my apps is actually called Safety Send. It's the equivalent of basically a dead man switch. You put in a message, you put in an email, and it saves it to the cloud, and if you don't check in that specified amount of time, well, then it triggers that email to send whoever you were going to send it to, right? You'd send it to a family member or someone else. This can be used for a lot of different things. One thing is like, hey, check on me. You know, if you put a, you know, a little timer on there for every hour, if you don't check in every hour, it's going to send the email. Now, obviously, this could be used for nefarious purposes, and because of liability, I basically use AI to vet whatever message they're sending. And if it's anything negative in any way, it basically prevents that switch from being populated. Now, it's so strict that you almost have to very covertly say, like, hey, please check on my well-being if you get this email. Because if you say anything else, like, hey, I'm hiking in the woods, and if you get this email, then I might be dead. You know, my AI integration would prevent that from being set, most likely. Which honestly, it's better that it does that. But at least you know if it's set or not, because if it saves the switch, then you're good to go. It's gonna trigger it and it'll send it. It's only on the front end there that we check it to make sure it's not used for anything negative. But this app I originally created for overseas travel, right? Some people are like, well, what would you even need it for? Well, not just like a goodbye note. Let's say you wanted to tell your kids something. Let's say you want to tell someone, hey, I, you know, buried $200 in the backyard, or, hey, you know, there's that one keepsake. I have it in this one location or something. And so honestly, you can even put in there, you know, if you wanted to, various things. People always talk about, kind of ghost and phantom social media accounts that exist, right? When people pass away, you got so many things. You got Facebook profiles, LinkedIn profiles. You've got so many things out there. And when someone passes away, there's really no way to clean that up. And so some people care about that. You can put some information in there. Even if you put generic information in there, right? Like, hey, you know, if anything happens, this is where you can find my will. This is where you can find, you know, other important documents. It's always a helpful tool. But yeah, AI used there is basically an advanced spam filter, right? I don't even have to check for language. I don't have to check for any regular expressions. I don't have to check for curse words. I just let AI I code the prompt out in such a way where it just doesn't allow any sort of negative things happen. So I think that is actually a really handy feature. It kind of, I think in a lot of ways, makes it more expansive, right? It's not so robotic to know whether or not you know, a comment is good or bad. It can kind of tell the intentions, and so far there hasn't been a problem. But that is yet another implementation of AI that I've released lately, and it seems to be going pretty well. And I even have people reach back out to me positively, and they think that they've enjoyed the app. They you know, set up all sorts of tests and say, hey, check on me, and they put a 2 or 3 day timer on there, and it's been working out for them well. That I deal with a lot of people all the time. They find out I make iPhone apps, and so they, you know, they want to have coffee and they want to tell me about their $1 million idea that if only it could be turned into an app, they'd make millions. Well, a lot of people don't realize, you know, I've got 25 apps out there, and they span every idea under the sun. And so there's not really that many new ideas. And, you know, as the old adage goes, it's really not the idea that makes the money. It's whoever can put it on paper, actually make it real, make it come to life. But let me just tell you one more thing. It's like the total understanding of like tech really hinges on your understanding of just human behavior and motivations in general. So let me give you this example here without naming any names. I met with a guy once and he said he's got a great idea and, you know, he's going to give me half. You know, if we build this, I can have half. I build the whole thing and, you know, his idea is the moneymaker. So let's do this. Well, I've heard this 1,000 times, but I thought, sure, let's have some coffee and talk about it. Well, his app idea was basically, you know, he's like, hey, why don't we have an app where women can generate a quick fake phone number that is temporary that they can give to guys so that they can then engage in text conversation for a little bit. Who knows, right? Over a few days, I assume. So that they can figure out if they like the guy or not. Immediately, as this man was telling me that idea, I knew that it was a flop. Why did I know it's a flop? Well, this guy apparently has only dated or married one woman in his life. I would say 99% of women know whether or not they like you or want to give you their real phone number within the first 10 seconds. And that's something apparently that this guy does not realize. And in fact, if a woman does give you her real number and doesn't want to contact you, she just won't ever reply. That's literally the standard MO. Women typically don't want to upset someone unless you're being super aggressive or something weird like that. But that's the point. This guy has this genius app idea, but I had no idea where it came from because I just know that no woman operates in that way. And so apparently he was thinking that women operated in some other way or however he operates, right? Like you have to sit there and think about whether or not you like someone. But that's the point. So I told him, no, I'm not available for any sort of market share. I'll build what you want for my standard contracted rate, but I don't care to have any interest in his company. Because again, as they say, if that guy wants to sink all of his eggs into one basket, I'll sure go ahead and take a cut by building it. But I'm not going to, invest any of my own time building it for free just because I knew that that thing would never succeed. So, and that's the thing. And I'm allowed to share this idea because that guy never had me sign an NDA to begin with. But that was years ago. And if the idea was a good one, it would have already been taken off. But that's the whole point. Some people have all these ideas and they're like, well, I have a problem I've solved. And I'm like, I don't really know if that is a problem. So that's what's interesting too. I like all of these little real world experiences that people have. But that's the thing. I don't really try to solve someone else's problem. I try to solve my own with all of my own apps. Then I build it and release it. If someone else has the same problem, they're welcome to have it. But honestly, I really don't care because I build the tools for myself. Anyways, as with everything, hope you learned a little bit through this podcast. If you have any ideas, feel free to go to my website, yourfullstack.com. Contact me. Ask me for any topics or information you want to know. Send me any app ideas. And we'll get going. Thanks. Bye.